Should Wisconsin's open carry law be repealed? Our guest in this half hour says yes. Our guest after 7:30 will say no. And we will welcome your questions and your views for both of them. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, September 19th. It is legal in Wisconsin for you to carry a concealed gun if you have a permit. That's called concealed carry. And it remains legal for you to also carry a gun that is not concealed in full view. That's called open carry. An incident involving two men who headed to the Appleton Farmers Market recently with two AR-15 rifles slung over their shoulders and two handguns in holsters resulted in at least three 911 calls to the Appleton Police Department. The Appleton police stopped the two men. They ended up pulling a gun on them. The two men were handcuffed, but they were released without tickets or charges after it was determined that the men were not breaking the law. Now critics and supporters of open carry are weighing in. We will talk with a former police chief who penned an op-ed calling for the repeal of Wisconsin's open carry law. And we will wonder what you think. What questions you have, your reaction to this incident. What would you do if you saw a couple of guys with AR-15 rifles and handguns wandering around your farmer's market? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our first guest. He is James Lewis, he's a resident of Black Creek, and he is a former Green Bay police chief. He is also the former interim police chief in Appleton and Grand Chute. His opinion piece, State's Open Carry Law Should Be Repealed, appeared earlier this week in Wisconsin newspapers. Good morning.
Good morning, Dre.
Thanks a lot for being with us. So what's wrong with the open carry statute?
Well, I don't believe there's any evidence that it makes us safer, and I think, in fact, the opposite takes place. There's those that argue that the Second Amendment allows it, when, in fact, that's just not true. There's states that have it, some that don't. So it isn't a local issue. It's been left by the Supreme Court to be cited locally. And the question is, common sense has to play a part. I have no problem with open carry for the guy that's out hunting or a person on his own private property, but I think an urban setting is different. We can, in essence, have an 18-year-old take an AR-15-type weapon who's never even fired the weapon, is not familiar with it. He or she could take that weapon down to the 4th of July fireworks in Green Bay. He could take it to the Christmas parade. He could take it to the farmer's market, a marathon run, and walk around carrying that weapon. And I don't think that makes us any safer. I think if something occurred at that incident and he or she chose to use that weapon, there's a good possibility innocent people would be injured by that weapon. And so I don't think it makes us any safer, and I think it sets a tone that's not healthy. Most of us will never be a victim of a crime, but we can be terrorized by that thought. And I think people openly carrying guns in that manner is unsafe, instills fear in people. You can get a CCW permit if you qualify, carry your weapon concealed, and if that makes you feel safer, that's fine. I think there's questionable about the data in that area, too. But the open weapon, I think, sets a bad example in an urban setting. So I think the legislatures could modify the law, still allow it for the rural counties if that's what they choose. But I think it should be a local decision. I think the Appleton City Council should have a right to decide whether those kind of weapons are carried at the farmer's market. I think the Green Bay City Council has a right to decide whether or not those kind of weapons should be in that crowd of 100,000 people at the fireworks display.
Are you saying they should be able to have a say, but they do not now?
They have no say now. Mm-hmm. They have no right to put those kinds of restrictions. The only way they could do it, those kind of events, is if they were completely fenced, there was an entry fee, and a way to close off the fencing. So the big public events, they have no say. The state legislature is put a blanket law over the entire state. And I think common sense would say that doesn't make sense in a state that has a lot of rural areas and a lot of urban. And I think it should be a local decision, and I think the people we elect locally should be able to decide what's safe. Now, if the city council in Appleton or Green Bay says, yeah, we want to allow those guns in those settings, then I think they should have a right to make that decision. And if the citizens disagree, we can remove them at the next election. But at this point, they have no say. They cannot control those people that are going down to those events that may not be at all trained, at all familiar with those weapons. And I think it's a dangerous position we put ourselves in, and we've given our police officers no tools to put the citizens at rest on this issue.
Well, what's your reaction to how the Appleton police handled this particular situation?
I think they had no other options. There's no other tools in their toolbox in this case. They had citizens calling in concerned. Kind of the man with a gun call. They're going to respond and have to find the facts out. They don't know if those are automatic weapons until they actually take them and check them. You can't tell until you look at the selector switch whether they're illegal. They don't know if those two young men were convicted felons and had no right to have those guns. They don't know if they're intoxicated without contacting them. And they also don't know if there's something going on in their life, whether it's the loss of a job or a recent divorce or some other tragedy that, for whatever reason, makes people do irrational things. Without making contact with them, they have no way of knowing. I think the officers did exactly what they had to do, and I think they were put in a very uncomfortable position by the way this law is written.
Now, the police did, according to the accounts I read, did stop them and say, what are you doing? What kind of guns are those? Why do you need them? And the men said they were carrying them for self-defense. Couldn't the police have just stopped and talked to them without pulling their guns and handcuffing them?
Well, you can make the argument whether or not the officers should increase the danger to themselves by doing that. And sure, that could happen, and it may have worked out fine. But if it was a person that was intoxicated or a felon that wasn't legally allowed to have that gun or a person who was having mental illness, the officer taking that position may have just ended up with a couple of dead officers. So, they've got to make that decision based on the information that comes in on that telephone call, the minimal information they're given, and what they observe. And so they made a short detention. You can argue about whether it would be better for them to put themselves at a little more risk, and that's a debate, I guess, for the courts to have. I personally think that they did it as quickly as they could from what I know about the incident, and everyone went away uninjured.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's... I'm wondering if you have any comment on... This has happened before where people have walked into public places, restaurants, and they were openly carrying weapons. Police were called because people were concerned. They're not used to seeing people walking around, with a rifle or a gun, in full view. In all of those cases, there have been court cases, and the city police or the city has had to pay the people who were arrested. Is this some sort of, do you think that these two men were trying to make a statement, trying to cause a lawsuit?
I can't say what was in their mind. They say that they weren't trying to make a statement. They just felt like they had a right to do this. That would just be a guess on my part. I think some of the settlements that you're talking about have just been because it was cheap for the organizations to pay out small settlements than it was to go to court. It would be my preference that you go to court and find out whether the officers have a right to make contact with them. But I don't know what was in the minds of these young men. But the question is the other people at that farmer's market or the people that are at the 4th of July or the Christmas parade, whether or not they think that that's the environment they want to be in. Because remember, for open carry, there is no licensing requirements. There's no background checks done. There's no checking of psychological background. You only have to be 18 years of age, and you can't be convicted felon. So there are some restrictions, but there are no checks, and there are no schools, no training requirements. We don't even know whether or not they understand how those weapons function, let alone how accurate they would be. And certainly we don't know how accurate they'd be under stress.
We are hearing a case for repealing or at least modifying Wisconsin's open carry law. We are talking with a former Green Bay police chief, James Lewis. He co-authored an opinion piece that ran in many Wisconsin newspapers this week. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions on this. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 20 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, September 19th. We are talking with James Lewis, who is a former Green Bay police chief, who says that Wisconsin's open carry law should be repealed or at least modified. And we're wondering what you think, what questions you have. Let's take a call. Jerry in Waukesha. Hello, Jerry.
Hi there.
Yes, what do you think?
Well, I think the two guys at the farmer's market were just exerting the boundaries of the law. You know, common sense should prevail that you don't need an AR-15 to go pick vegetables at the farmer's market. Anybody, you know, with a sidearm, a handgun, revolver, there should be no issue with that. That's entirely their right. But an AR-15, I think, steps on the gray line of common sense and the boundaries of the law.
A reaction, James Lewis?
Well, I agree with Jerry. I mean, I would prefer that even the handgun was concealed, that you go through the legal process and get a concealed weapons permit. It's very, very easy in this state, has minimal training. But again, the open carrying of that gun doesn't even require that you're familiar with a gun. So I my preference would be that we allow the local officials to modify it to fit what their communities want, and that a person could still carry that weapon if they feel they need the self-protection. They can still get a CCW permit, but it's the open carry that creates the 911 calls and the potential confrontation with police, and I don't believe it adds anything to our safety.
Mm. Well, proponents of the open carry law will say, when's the last time there was a Wild West scene at a farmer's market? It's not hurting our safety to have this happen.
Well, you know, the other side of that coin was, when was the last time weapons stopped an incident like that? But so if we agree that it's kind of a push as far as the data is concerned, then the question becomes the comfort level of the citizens and their children at these family type events. Do we really need people carrying these kind of weapons and exposing our kids to it? I don't know how it adds to their safety. It certainly adds to the discomfort, or we wouldn't be getting the 911 calls. As a matter of fact, I think if you take a survey of most people, like at the farmer's market, and some of the local news did that, a lot of them are supportive of people's right to own firearms, but they're not supportive of them exhibiting them openly at community events. So there is, I think, a difference there, and I think, frankly, both sides could avoid the name-calling and come to a rational, fair balance here. Will they protect their right to carry a concealed firearm, but not necessarily let anyone carry that exposed AR-15 or whatever type of weapon they want to carry? Because that's how the law is written right now.
Steve in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Steve. I understand you were there at the time.
No, my daughter and my grandchildren were there, and I had to come by later on to pick them up after all the commotion occurred, and she said that was the most... I mean, these two yahoos walk in the middle of this group of people with these guns. They didn't get enough of a show, apparently, so then they start moving around where all these big groups of people are standing at this farmer's market just to make a scene, and, you know, don't tell me that they didn't do this for the reaction they got, because they had three other knotheads there with them recording and videotaping this whole thing the whole time it was going on and when the police showed up. And I'll tell you, when I found out that went on with my daughter and my grandkids there, you know what, people were upset. this is somebody's going to end up getting killed while these guys are trying to prove a point, and they're making it bad for those people who legitimately carry firearms and do so for safety and use common sense when they do. Somebody's going to end up getting killed at one of these events while these people are trying to make some foolish statement. I was just beside myself when my daughter and grandchildren got in the van and said what had happened. And I'm like, this is absolutely ridiculous and totally unacceptable.
James Lewis. A reaction?
Well, I think Steve hit it right on the nose. I don't think Steve doesn't sound like he's anti-gun or anti-proper carrying of guns. The issue is this kind of conduct. And also remember, as I pointed out in my article, you could have a group of members of an established gang who have not ever been convicted of a felony that could weld their colors to a community event carrying those kind of weapons. And what kind of potential confrontation could occur there? You could have white supremacist groups carrying those kind of exposed weapons to a community event. I don't think it adds anything to our safety. I think we could come up with some common sense modifications to this that would allow local officials who are closest to the issues, closest to communities, decide. And if a community in a rural area says, we got no problems with people carrying guns exposed, then they could have that ordinance. But if a more urban area says, no, we don't want them in our parades, we don't want them walking up and down our downtown, you can still have your CCW permit. We're not trying to revoke CCW laws. But just the open carry with virtually no rules other than you can't be a convicted felon or can't be documented to have some mental health issues, that's just too loose. It's just way too loose in a civilized society.
Paul on Facebook says, I prefer open carry to concealed. I should be able to assess the threat posed by the people around me effectively. However, unless you're doing security work against drug cartels, there is no need for an AR-15 for self-defense, open or concealed. But what about his argument that he'd rather see the gun than not, or be able to assess, the threat posed by someone or not?
Well, that's, again, assuming that people have the ability to make those kind of rational assessments without any type of training. The gentleman that wrote that, he may have some qualities and some past training. Most people do not. But also the issue with the open carry, frankly, if a person is in that crowd wanting to do harm to people, it's easy to take out the person with the open carry because you can see it. You know they've got it. They're easy to take out. It's a CCW person who probably is the safer person in that crowd. So, again, I don't see the purpose other than making other people uncomfortable, and I'm not sure what the purpose is in that.
Michael in Rice Lake is with us. Hello, Michael.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm a gun advocate, but I thought there was a law that stated that, more or less in a disorderly conduct mode, if someone was upset and anybody clearly carrying an AR-15 to a farmer's event, I would say deserves a disorderly conduct charge for upsetting people, especially with the way the world is going right now. Isn't that law usable in something like that? That would supersede because you brought a gun to an event like that. I would imagine you can't determine, with a handgun, so you could throw that against that too. But an AR-15, that's complete lack of common sense.
No, actually, Michael, the opposite exists now in Wisconsin. The legislature specifically forbids the use of disorderly conduct for a person who's just openly carrying. So that is no longer a tool that was years ago, and you're correct about that, but it cannot be used now. And so that's another weakness in what we've created here. The officers cannot use disorderly conduct unless a person is, if they're waving the gun, pointing at people, that becomes a different thing. But the open carrying of those AR-15s, it specifically forbids the use of disorderly conduct to prevent them from doing that. And that's why I think you need local ordinances in place that can say specifically, not downtown, can't carry that kind of weapon.
Matt
Oshkosh
is with
way.
Us. Hello, Matt, you're on the air.
Yeah, so I would just like to say that I think that making the argument that concealed carry is okay and open carry is there's something wrong with it makes no sense, for one thing.
Why not?
The other thing, well, because a gun is a gun, and I'd rather know who has the gun than not know. But the other thing I'd like to say is the Second Amendment to the Constitution doesn't say that you can keep and bear arms except in an urban area or any other exceptions. It simply states that you can keep and bear arms.
All right. And
the
we have
problem
just a,
here.
I'm sorry, Matt, because we have just a minute to go. It's the constitutional right of these people, James Lewis. So there you go.
Well, he's incorrect. I mean, the Supreme Court is the interpreter of the Second Amendment, and they have allowed these kind of restrictions. So it is not an open, the Second Amendment is not an open blanket that anybody can carry anything wherever they want. The courts have repeatedly declared that, and that's why some states don't allow open carry. And the Supreme Court's accepted that, and they're the interpreter of the Second Amendment.
I want to thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
James Lewis. He is a resident of Black Creek, a former Green Bay police chief. He is also a former interim police chief in Appleton and Grand Chute. His opinion piece states open carry law should be repealed, appeared this week in Wisconsin newspapers. We will talk with another former police officer who actually is an advocate of the open carry law coming up after we check the latest news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Well, we just heard from a former Green Bay police chief who says Wisconsin should repeal its open carry law, or at least modify it. Let communities decide if they want people openly carrying guns at public events. Now we will hear from a guest who says the open carry law, which allows the carrying of guns in the open view of others, as opposed to concealed carry, is good for Wisconsin. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Thursday, September 19th. We'll continue to welcome your questions and views on this. Should Wisconsin's open carry law be repealed or not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our next guest is Jim Fendry. Jim Fendry is a former police officer. He is the director of Wisconsin Pro-Gun Movement. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Well, for those just joining us, let's play a little audio clip from the exchange that happened recently between Appleton police and two men who were openly carrying two AR-15 rifles and two handguns as they were walking to the downtown Appleton Farmers Market. Police got three 911 calls about the pair.
Got guns?
Yeah.
What kind of guns?
AR.
And a pistol. Real ARs?
AR semi-auto.
Why are you carrying them like this?
For self-defense.
First off, Jim Fendry, what's your reaction to those young men who brought the two AR-15 rifles to the Appleton Farmers Market?
Well, it's not uncommon. People have been putting on stunts like this perhaps since the late 90s and certainly into 2000s. And I don't have any details, nor do I know these individuals. Occasionally, it has been a pro-gun rights organization. Often, it's actually anti-gunners who wanted to stage a little setup that then could be used against the NRA, and they claim that they're actively carrying a gun for one purpose or another. And the only reason that they're actually doing it is to create a controversy that would hurt the lawful gun owners. And, of course, as you mentioned in the earlier section, what can also happen is that sometimes it's setting up a potential lawsuit against the municipality if the officers respond and do something which was not actually covered and approved by the law. But there's one thing, Joy, that I think we should start off with, and this is correcting a good deal of misinformation and a lack of information on the part of some of the people in the first portion of your show. And that is, there isn't any law in Wisconsin allowing for the open carry of firearms. What it is that we have never prohibited that in this state. Ever since the state was incorporated, the carrying of guns in plain view has been okay. And it's actually much more common than you would think as you get away from urban areas, and has been for decades and decades that I'm well aware of. So there isn't any law that could be changed. There isn't any law that could be modified. It's all right to do so, not only based upon the Second Amendment that gives you not only the right to keep, but also to bear firearms and other arms as well. But when the Supreme Court more recently defined what the Second Amendment is, they did say there would be certain exceptions that the court would approve. However, here in the state of Wisconsin, back in the 90s, when nearly 80% of the voters approved amending the Wisconsin state constitution to create and guarantee an individual right to keep and bear arms for hunting, self-defense, and any other lawful purpose, it actually became an absolute right. And here is why. To be able to amend the Constitution, the language has first to be approved by two consecutive sessions of the state legislature, and every word has to be exactly the same. And before this went to the voters, in the final days of the passage in the state Senate, the respected Senator Fred Risser from Madison got up on the floor of the Senate, and he made this statement. He said, someday the Supreme Court is going to be looking at what we did here today. And did we intend this to be an absolute right or a limited right? I'm going to introduce an amendment that will clearly delineate this right as a limited right. The amendment that Risser had drawn up was introduced, it was debated, and it was rejected, thereby giving the standing that it is clearly an absolute right in Wisconsin to keep and bear arms for hunting, self-defense, and any other lawful purpose.
Well, thank you for clarifying that, and thank you for the history lesson. It is important, but getting to the argument from the other side, they're saying, why not allow local communities like Appleton to decide if they want somebody walking in their downtown farmers market with open carry guns?
Well, because you can't have a constitutional right amended by a law. In fact, in an unrelated case regarding firearms, courts have repeatedly said this. In fact, Justice Diane Sykes was one that had written a decision in one of the cases, and they said exactly that. You cannot pass a law that takes away a person's right. So if you have the right under the Second Amendment and you have the right under the Wisconsin Constitution, even if the legislature would take away the state firearm preemption law, thereby once again allowing municipalities to have their own gun control laws, it would still violate the Constitution. And nobody's going to change the Constitution. The right to be able to have guns and use guns has become so, so popular, no longer just with conservatives, but with liberals alike.
Well, you can have the right to own guns and use them and conceal them. Why do you have to have the right to walk down College Avenue in Appleton with a AR-15?
Well, here's the situation. There may be some places where a reasonable person would say, why would an individual do something that is likely to provoke some type of a disturbance or some type of an incident? And I would agree with that type of thinking. One of the reasons that Wisconsin did pass the concealed carry law was so people that chose to be armed could do so with their firearms concealed, so it wouldn't create some type of a disturbance. But we come right back to the idea that it is protected by the Constitution. So no matter what people think, no matter how they feel about it, you would have to first change the Wisconsin Constitution and the federal Constitution before you could control that. I'm not talking about the wisdom or lack of wisdom of doing of carrying guns in plain view. I'm talking about the idea that you cannot control it.
Well, let's Tom in Reedsburg, you're on the air.
Yeah, here we have a city ordinance where you can't open carry in the city. Outside the city limits is fine.
In Reedsburg?
But it's just, yes, it's just a city ordinance violation. It's not a state or county charge or anything like that. So it's, well, you know, it's that's what the city had decided to do. And it's been that way since, geez, the 60s.
Well, that's unconstitutional, James Fendry, are you saying?
Well, not only is that unconstitutional, it also violates the state's Firearms Uniformity Act of 1995. No municipality, county, town, city, village, can have a unique gun law. The only type of gun control law municipalities can have is if there is a state statute that says and does exactly the same thing. So the fact that this bill may not have been officially repealed in Reedsburg doesn't change the fact that it is unenforceable under the preemption law and certainly unconstitutional as well. We have to remember that our current sitting Attorney General, J.B. Van Hollen, issued a memorandum a few years ago. And in that memorandum, he stated that the open carrying of firearms is not a violation per se, and people cannot be charged with disorderly conduct merely for carrying the guns in plain view. He did, however, point out that law enforcement certainly has the authority, if not the responsibility, to respond to calls to be able to investigate situations like this. But police cannot take overt action merely because a person is carrying a firearm of any type in plain view.
So is it your opinion that the Appleton police overreacted by pulling their own guns and handcuffing the gentleman briefly while they investigated and called a prosecutor?
I wouldn't go so far as to say it's my opinion because I don't know enough about the details. And this is the same old thing. The devil is in the details. What really happened? What was the attitude of the officers? What was the attitude of the citizens? Did the police officers feel that they were actually under threat at the time? I'm not qualified to judge them, nor is anybody else listening to the show.
We are talking with James Fendry, former police officer, director of the Wisconsin Pro-Gun Movement, speaking in favor of Wisconsin's open carry. We've been saying law, but the right to open carry in Wisconsin. The supporters and critics of open carry are sounding off after this incident recently at the Appleton Farmers Market, where two men with AR-15 rifles and handguns in holsters were stopped by police and were concerning residents in Appleton. Two former police chiefs penned an op-ed, which we have linked to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, calling for changes in the open carry law in Wisconsin. And now we are getting another perspective. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking with James Fendry for the rest of this half hour. He is the director of the Wisconsin Pro-Gun Movement. We're talking about open carry in Wisconsin. And our next caller is Dennis in Hudson. Hello, Dennis.
Hi. I have a few different questions. I'm not sure if the screener would let them all through. One is, it's kind of irritating to have pro-gun people continue to talk about the Constitution because the Constitution gives people that are in a well-regulated militia the right to carry a gun. The Supreme Court changed that to define a militia as being any able-bodied man. I said man, not woman. So it's not the Constitution, it's the Supreme Court ruling. The other question I have was, if somebody has a gun, whether, well, particularly in an open carry situation, What's the situation if someone decides to shoot them and just claim it's self-defense? Because if it's a threat, and if you wait until they draw their gun, obviously it's too late. And I have the same kind of...
Dennis, there's two comments that we can get James Fendry to react to.
The reaction is this. When you have a constitutional right to do anything, there is absolutely no need or no responsibility to show that you have to have, that there has to be a cause. Exercising your right to free speech, exercising your right to vote, any of your other freedoms that you have come automatically. You do not have to show a need or some precondition to do it. Secondly, the caller's question about people being part of the militia. Actually, the federal law defined who's a member of the militia, and most of us are. But the courts have said that it's not, that the Second Amendment applies to everybody. In this country, unless there is some specific prohibition, such as a felon.
So you're saying that the only way that there can be any modifications at all to the right to open carry would be if residents would, or the legislature would, pass another constitutional amendment, perhaps, with some restrictions in it?
Clearly. You can't. Otherwise, there wouldn't even be anybody who would take up a matter like this in the state legislature. It is absolutely protected by Wisconsin Constitution and limitedly protected by the federal Constitution. There's no point in discussing anything else because that is the block to having anything done. You can't control, you can't limit a person's right, be it a good idea or a bad idea, whether some people like it or don't like it, and whether some people abuse it or don't abuse it, it is nevertheless a right.
So why did we need separate legislation for concealed carry?
Which is a very good question. At that particular time, NRA, who has supported this strongly, had brought forth the idea of having two bills. One would be what is called constitutional carry. That means it would be recognized clearly by the state legislature that under the Constitution you have the right to carry in plain view. And then they also brought forth the concealed carry bill. One of the reasons for concealed carry is there is federal legislation that is still pending that would allow concealed carry licenses to be treated like driver's licenses. To wit, if you had one in one state, all the other states would have to recognize it. The bill that happened to pass was the concealed carry. There wasn't enough votes for the constitutional carry. And it brings kind of a conundrum to a picture, and that is since we in Wisconsin and other states have people that are protected by the right to carry guns openly, why, if it starts to rain and you put a raincoat over the gun now concealing it, do you somehow have lost a right or modified a right? I think that you'll find in the coming years that Wisconsin, like many other states, will also have court cases that will be amending this situation where, like in many other states, permits are not needed to be able to lawfully carry firearms concealed.
So, James Fendry, what about the people who are shopping at the farmer's market and were freaked out to see these guys? What about their rights to feel safe with their kids shopping at the farmer's market?
I both sympathize and empathize with people that are in that position. Were I there, I certainly would be a little concerned about it, too. But just because that occurs doesn't mean you can modify a person's right. I'm afraid that many, many people that have at least heretofore in certain urban parts of the state, had the bejeebers scared out of them by the thought that they might actually see a gun, are going to have to get used to the fact that the courts are ruling in favor of gun owners' rights, and it's going to become more and more common. And while I'm not arguing in favor of the two young men that carried their ARs and open in Appleton, we have to remember the bad guys are out there. They're going to be carrying their weapons concealed until they actually bring them out and start using them. Our society is much safer now that we've got people like myself, others, retired police officers, gun owners, competitive shooters that have guns, will be carrying guns. And if the bad guys start to open fire, they're going to find that it's going to be stopped quickly by citizens with guns.
Mark in Oshkosh is with us. Hello, Mark.
Jim, that's about what I was thinking. What a hoot this is. The insanity of the gun laws that we have now. People, single-issue voters, the environment, jobs, we don't care about that stuff. Just give us our guns. Well, you got exactly what you asked for. Quit freaking out about it. Right, James?
Well, I don't know. That didn't make any sense, Mark. You want to react to that, Jim?
I didn't quite understand that, the question.
Yeah. He said that this is what people voted for, so quit freaking out about it.
Well, let me also emphasize the point that when Wisconsin's Constitution was amended, giving an absolute right for people to keep and bear arms in Wisconsin, not only did two consecutive sessions of the legislature approve the language, 80%, close to 80% of the voters in Wisconsin approved it as well. And that's why our Constitution became amended. And whether people like it or dislike it, that's the law of our land.
So what's your prediction as to what's going to happen in light of this case in Appleton, which is now getting a lot of national exposure, too?
Well, it's getting some media exposure because they're quick to jump onto situations where people do controversial things with firearms. Day after day after day, crimes are being prevented, people's lives are being saved, others are being saved from injury by people that are carrying firearms, and we never hear a word about it in the general media. I think that what we're going to find in the future is just like everything else, people are finally going to quiet down. It'll just be a kind of a way of life, and it won't be controversial at all.
We'll have to leave it there. We're out of time. James Fendry is with the Wisconsin Pro-Gun Movement. Thanks for being with us. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Christy Taylor, and to Robin Cherry for producing and directing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.